Okay, we're starting share number 30. Chaf Aleph Elul, Tashin Samchvav, September 13th, 2006. Tonight we'll be discussing actual vidui. In the past few weeks we're building up to tonight's discussion with Teshuva. And we'll be discussing basically what the words mean. Our scroll in the back of the Machzor, Yom Kippur Machzor, has a beautiful work. And of course, many other Sfarim as well. Just before we begin, I think it's very important, 2 points. We're going to mention a lot of chataim, a lot of sins, and the person might say one of 2 things. I didn't do that. And the second thing he might say is, there's no hope. Let's look at all those sins I might have done. So, in regards to the first statement we really discussed in previous weeks, how even if something appears like we might not have done it in the previous Gilgul, which we're not going to get into, in the previous lifetime, a person might have committed these sins. So he is also, when we go through the regular vidui, which is in the Machzor, he should be saying that as well. But the main point is that we're not going to stand in front of God and say, please forgive me, and we don't know what these words mean. So that's the main point. Tonight we want to understand a little of what the vidui is about. And in regards to the second issue, that a person might say, look what we're discussing here. How can a person possibly survive this vidui? So, to that, we're going to say over from the words that we say every Monday and Thursday in the longer version of Tachanun. And we say as follows, HaPaseach Yod B'Shuvo HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Paseach Yod B'Shuvo. Hashem opens His hand B'Shuvo for repentance L'Kavo Poishim V'Chatoim, to accept the transgressors and the sinners. Poishim V'Chatoim, those who violate His commandments. The understanding is as follows. A person might say, I have sinned so much, it's just not possible. A person like me, he might say it's something like this. And to that, we have to always remind ourselves that Avinu of Arachman Hashem is our merciful Av, Father. No matter how many times the father gets upset at the child, the father has this innate, this love for the child. And the father wants the child to come back. The famous Mashal, the Gra, says over by Purim, who had a Purim story, when a melech, a king, was very upset at his son, and he banished him from the kingdom. He sent him away. And without the son's knowledge, the king sent officers and generals and army and soldiers. Wherever his son went, he would be protected. But they had to cover themselves up, camouflage themselves, and don't give out the secret, disguise themselves, that they are not messengers of the king. They're just farmers, they're just jungle people, whoever they are. So it happened one time, the son is in the forest, comes along a bear, attacking this helpless prince, and out from the tree comes this bow and arrow and kills the bear. The son is very grateful. He thanks this wild forest man. He says, hey, no problem. He goes on. Time goes on and different occurrences happen with different natives. The son gets into trouble with them. Once again, the king's men save his son's life. The prince wakes up, he says, wait a minute, what's going on here? There's too many coincidences. Something's going on here. And he says, the bear, these people, the lion. He realizes that these are his father's men. And he does tshuva, and he comes back to his father, and he begs for forgiveness, and he says, please take me back. The same is with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we have sinned. We're in Golus. We're in exile. And we think sometimes it's no hope. A person like me, there's no room for someone like me to come back. And Hashem says, "Hapaseach yod b'tshuva." Hashem says, come back to me. I open the door, especially during this time period of Elul, Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, a week and a half before Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is saying, I am here, I'm standing right here. You don't even have to go anywhere, I'm right here. Come back. And of course, as we've mentioned in the past, the greatest aspect of tshuva is limud haTorah, is the actual learning itself. As we know, the Rambam paskins that which is greater, the learning or the action, the Rambam paskins that the learning is greater. Why? Because the learning brings to the action. And of course, without learning the Torah, we can't know what to do to make a right or left turn. So just a little introduction before we get to all the chataim, the vidui itself. So a person should never ever feel, chas v'shalom, it's the Yitzhahara would tell him this, there's no hope. That's only the advice of the old man being the Yitzhahara. With that little introduction, we'll begin, if anybody wants, page 403. There is Kippur Tefillah, Shmona Esrei. And in previous weeks we discussed introductions to that as well. We'll start obviously with Hashamnu. We have become guilty. Hashamnu is a lashon, an expression of desolation. We have sinned against Hashem to such a degree that we have devastated our own spirituality. Any time a person would sin against the king, against God, he deserves immediate death. And it's a concept which we don't relate to because we don't see it. We don't see the lightning bolt come down. I'm sure we've heard this, I've heard it firsthand. A person would say, if there's a God, if I did something wrong, let him strike me down right now. And of course, that lightning bolt doesn't come down. And the marshal given to that is the Gemara discusses a similar conversation, I think it was with Rabbi Kiva and a guy. And the Gentile said, where's your God? Let me see him. So Rabbi Kiva said, if I'm not mistaken, you have a daughter who has a wonderful voice. Can I hear her sing? So the father brings his daughter and says, sing for this man. She starts laughing. Me? Sing for this one puny person? I sing in front of an audience. I'm not going to waste my talents in front of him. Of course, Rabbi Kiva knew what he was doing because we can't listen to women sing anyway. I think it was Rabbi Kiva. The point here as well. A little puny human is going to say, God, strike me down with a lightning bolt if I sin. That's not the way things work. And if it did happen like that, we wouldn't have free choice anymore. Because we would see, of course, there is a God. I have no choice but to listen to him. But from the letter of the law, a person deviates from one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, he should be killed immediately. His life should be over. It's the chesed, the kindness of Hashem, that Hashem gives us life and gives us chance to repent. But we start the whole vida with Hashamnu, a situation where I deserve death. We have become very guilty because of our actions. Not only have we become guilty by sinning against Hashem, we have brought spiritual desolation upon ourselves. That's the word Shmama Hashamnu, Shmama desolation. Perhaps we did not mean to rebel against Hashem, but we often sin intentionally for profit or for enjoyment. Once again, in the back of the art scroll, the Machzor of Yom Kippur is a beautiful explanation. Now, in the Chidah, lived a few hundred years ago, he has a lengthy version of the vidui. This is not what's requirement, but just to mention a few aspects like we mentioned from the Chai Adam, that the Chai Adam says that when a person comes to Aleph, he should incorporate the sins that also come under the category of Aleph. For example, this is Aleph, so what else goes into the Aleph category? Achal ma'acholas asurais, a person might have eaten, God forbid, forbidden foods. As we know, a person who eats, I think you learned it recently, one bug, it's 5 or 6 lavin. Mm-hmm. One bug. Imagine, like we discussed a few weeks ago, a head of lettuce, how many bugs are a head of lettuce, and broccoli, and cauliflower. And all of these, for the most part, all of these fruits and vegetables can be acquired bug-free, or just we have to learn the techniques of how to do it properly. And with each time these bugs enter our body, we metamtem our neshama. We add spiritual impurity. And we build up that greater, we have mechitza over here, which we know is very flimsy. We can all blow it down. But we add up, we build that spiritual fence, that barrier between us and Hashem. And then we come to daven, we come to do our mitzvahs, we come to plead to Hashem, and the greater this barrier, without doing tshuva first, it won't go anywhere. Explains the Chafetz Chaim, that a person who speaks Lashon Hara, slander, gossip, he hurts people with words, and then he comes to daven to Hashem, this person's tefillahs are adding power to the koyach hara, to the evil inclination, to the yetzer hara. Not only did he not get his tefillah, but he added power to the ra. So what does a person have to do beforehand? Tshuva. One aspect of tshuva before a person comes to daven is to accept upon himself the love for every Jew. V'haftorecha kamoicha. Loving every Jew. A person who comes before davening and he is accepting upon himself to love his fellow Jew like himself. What he's doing is he's doing tshuva for that Lashon Hara which he spoke on his friend to some degree. And with that, hopefully some aspects of tshuva, his tefillahs will now be answered. So each time a person sins, a person has to realize he is adding spiritual contamination to his neshama. That was a shamnim. So another aspect over here, where also a person, if he ate chametz chas shalom on Pesach, he should incorporate that over here by a shamnu. Yes. Yes.
What level does going to the mikvah, Erev Yontif, at what level does that help remove spiritual impurity? So as to even get you to the point where you can daven properly on a yontif like Rosh Hashanah, as part of the cleansing and tshuva process, where does that factor into the equation?
Are you referring to specifically Erev Yontif of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or of any day of the week, or Shabbos, or
in general? But because of the topic that we're discussing.
Right.
Let's say okay. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur.
So it is very important. It's a custom that's brought down to go to the mikvah. Excuse me, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, and it does remove some spiritual impurity. However, nothing will help unless a person actually does teshuvah. You can go to the mikvah 100 times. But it's called Taibel v'sheretz b'yaday. A person who touches when we were totally pure, if he would go to the mikvah holding the dead sheretz, the dead mouse, it wouldn't help too much. He would still be impure. So a person who doesn't do tshuva, so what does he do? He goes into the mikvah, and on the way out, he sees that somebody put their towel, they used his towel. He comes out of the mikvah, and he sees someone's using his towel. And he starts screaming at that person and in the mikvah, in that place. So, what kind of tshuva did he just do? The ikr, the main point, is tshuva. Not to minimize going to the mikvah, it's very important. But tshuva, meisen toivin, tshuva tefillin staka, and like we said, and we'll have to say it many, many times, main aspect of tshuva is Torah. Limra Torah. Torah is saying, God, I want to be close to you, I want to understand you, I want to know you. That's a Torah. Every word of Torah is another expression of Hashem. You're welcome. We come next to Bagadnu. We have betrayed. We have been ungrateful and disloyal to Hashem. Boige, the traitor. We have been ungrateful and treacherous to those who have helped us. We have betrayed our loved ones by violating the mitzvahs. We have been disloyal to Hashem who has given us life and sustenance. One of the greatest chataim, one of the greatest sins a person can commit is if someone does him good, he repays it back with evil. Why is that? Because a person who denies the chesed, the kindness that someone does for him, in essence he is also denying God. Everything comes from Hashem. And he is repaying toiva tachas ra. He's giving ra, evil, instead of good. Someone does us a favor and we give them back a negative situation. How could that be? There's a very, very beautiful, important advice given to us by the Tzitzis Chaim, the author of the Reishis Chachma. The Reishis Chachma, could be we mentioned this in the past, he lived during the time of the Arizal Kaddish, around 400 years ago. One of the great Kabbalists of the Tzfas era. And when he was Nifter, he passed away. They were upset at him for writing such a strong sefer. So who comes to help? Who comes to aid of a child?
Parents.
Yeah. So his mother came to his aid. And his mother said, did he or did he not fulfill everything it says in that sefer? They left him alone. What does the Tzitzis Chaim tell us? He says, when we have a nisayon, we have a test that comes in front of us. Of chas v'shalom violating a commandment from God. He says, at that time, concentrate and appreciate the chesed that Hashem has given us. Appreciate the eyes that we have. Appreciate the fingers that we have. The bones that work and move. Appreciate our families. Appreciate our life. Appreciate everything we can. He says, appreciate the chesed that Hashem gave us. And then think to ourselves, he says, how can I do this to Hashem? Hashem said no. Hashem gave me all this chesed. Look what Hashem did for me. If I were to sin now, I would be doing evil to God. And God did so much good for me. And we know when it comes to a person, you know, when a person moves to a new town or wherever it might be, and someone else helps him settle down, so we feel so comfortable. Every time we see that person, oh, you know, remember what he did for me? You tell people, he's such a nice person. A little chesed like that, which goes a long way. Hashem is giving us life. The story, the mashal said over when a person is in a hospital bed and there's someone sitting next to him and pressing that red button, and every time he presses that red button, it gives more oxygen to that person lying in bed. So what does the person do when he's lying in bed? You know, they have those pitchers in the hospital. So he takes that pitcher and he throws it on the person pressing the button. The person pressing the button turns around a second, looks outside the window, steals his wallet. You give me an expression like, what a crazy individual. Like, he's supplying with his life. And this is how he responds? Now, please do not respond. I'm just saying a statement. But we have to ask ourselves, do we do the same? Does Hashem tell us to do something? And do we fulfill our task? Are we the ones pouring that water? That's what Elul is about. That's what Tshuva is about. But God knew. We're going to take our hand and we're going to hopefully, sincerely, hit our heart and contemplate and think, and before we come to Davin, of the chataim that we might have sinned to Hashem, and say, Hashem, I'm sorry, forgive me please. That's Begadnu. Gazalnu. Gezel. We all know what the word gezel means. We have robbed, we have stolen property and not fulfilled the personal responsibilities. In addition to taking and enjoying other people's property without payment, we have taken all sorts of things to which we are not entitled. We enjoy Hashem's earth without making proper brachas, or once again, listening to His commandments. We do not fulfill our obligations to other people. Gazalnu, stealing. We have taken advantage of other people's ignorance or trust. We rob people of their privacy. There's a concept called hezek ri'ya. A person has the ability to see far. if his sight could take him into someone else's backyard, who says we're allowed to look there? We live in America, Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to come here tonight to learn, to free, but sometimes this freedom goes a little too far. We have to realize that there are halachas about these things. There are halachas about where we look. We rob the poor and defenseless of their dignity. A person who steals someone's sleep, one of the hardest things to repay. Why didn't you give him $10? How does it work? Gezel Shein, a person can't repay it. Sleep is very important, as we all know. So a person comes home late at night with a getting dropped off, and what does he do? Thank you! He thanks his friend. In the meantime, he wakes up his neighbor. Person who takes something without permission. Skezel. Stealing. The Gemara tells us if there is a pile of sins, which sin goes up there straight to Hashem and says, look what they did. Gezel. Gezel is mekachi b'roish. Gezel goes up to Shemayim and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what they've done. As we know by the generation of the Mabul, the flood, all types of terrible, tremendous chatayim were taking place. But Gezel, as we get to soon later, was the Makib Patish, the final straw that broke the camel's back. The Sefer Yisrael B'Shoresh HaAvodah says that there's no greater sin in the world that prevents a person from doing tshuva, from his tefillah being accepted, and going up to Hashem, like the sin of Gezel, like stealing. Now there are a few things we have to discuss here. One is, what happens if a person stole from somebody who doesn't know who he stole from? Or what happens if he doesn't know where that person is now? Maybe he's not alive anymore, but he's not in town. How do we tshuva time to repent. How do we repent? So the Sfarim, the Halacha Sfarim discusses at length. And one of the basic common answers they give is to support communal places. I'm not making a pitch for the community kolo, but to support community places. Mikvahs, maybe the person will use a mikvah, shuls, and any community place that this person might come into and get benefit from that person, his chesed, his kindness that he's repenting now. He'll use a tissue from the tissue box. He'll enjoy the light from it. He'll pay for electricity, whatever it might be. And obviously, if a person has something, it's not his. If he has something in his possession that he stole, he has to hashavas exili. He has to return that stolen item. No question about it. Just to emphasize this point a little more, there's a story goes back a few hundred years ago with Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was one of the main students of the Vilna Gaon, and he had a student who was deathly ill, and it was best for the student to go home. Obviously, those days there were no charter planes or overnight train rides. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner chose a bachar, another student, to take this sick bachar, and they went on their travels back home. And as they were approaching this sick bachar's home, they stayed over one night in an inn, hotel. The next morning they paid, but they owed a minuscule amount, and they continued on their road. The innkeeper, I believe, if I remember the story correctly, he said it's fine, I'll pay it back later, no problem. The sick bachar, he made it back to his house, but unfortunately he did not survive. He passed away. Now when the yeshiva, Rav Chaim Volozhiner's yeshiva, it was set up in such a fashion that there was 24 hours a day always learning. 24 hours a day. Chaim Volozhiner made the point very famous that if God forbid there would be 1 millisecond of lack of Limud HaTorah in the world, that people would not be learning, the world would cease to exist. That's it. He had in his yeshiva 24-hour cycles. So, as the story continues, through his nightly shift, he was walking down the Beis Medrash. Who does he see? This bacha that passed away. He comes and approaches him. He was dead, yes. Yes. We won't discuss how many times anybody here saw a dead man. That's not tonight's discussion. It was, I think, for the average person, he might have joined that deceased person with such a sight. It was not uncommon, maybe, for Chaim Volozhiner.
He was making a call on that woman.
I'm sorry?
He was making a call on that woman that was paying for the real site.
What happened was like this. The Bacher comes back and he said, I was going to Gan Eden and I was about to get in there and they told me stop. They told me that on the way back there's still a few pennies, quarters, whatever it might have been that is owed to this innkeeper. And I cannot get in until that's paid up. Gezel. Now, obviously, we think to ourselves, you know, so we don't take our hands and stick them to people's pockets. But sometimes we'll open a refrigerator, and obviously not on our own house, but in a communal place, and we'll think, you know, this is a permitted for everybody, without thinking twice or looking at the things properly, and it might be private owned. Person put a soda in a bag or in a corner or something like that, and person, that's called gezel. It's called stealing. All these little types of things.
I drank some of this.
Oh, that's actually. Let's not confuse this white collar.
It didn't say private.
It didn't say private. You could still come here, though.
If you have to say gezel. Well, that's the purpose for Yom Kippur, right?
What do you mean?
To correct the wrong.
That is 100% correct. Yom Kippur is Yom Kapurah. It's a day of redemption. We're redeemed. As the Gemara tells us, that this is one of the greatest days that the gifts that Hashem has ever given us. Imagine a person walks up to the judge with that $400 ticket and 3 points as a license. And the judge says, okay, be careful, don't do it again. Put on your seatbelt next time. We're all like, wow, it didn't happen to me. Imagine, I said. Yom Kippur is a time when Hashem says, I heard a beautiful point once. A person makes a bracha on an apple. Bari Priya eats. So what does he have to do now? Just eat the apple. A person cannot make a bracha and not go the next step. We are making a lot of brachas in davening. We have to realize that our brachas are being answered, our tefillah is being answered on the other side. That Hashem is saying, yes, I accept it. If not, it could be like a bracha levatalah, blessing in vain. It's a beautiful point. One of the main aspects of tshuva is after we have repented properly, we have the emunah shalem, or the proper belief to say, to realize, to tell ourselves, Hashem has accepted our tefillah, our tshuva. Now, there's a tremendous Yetzirah. The Yetzirah, like we discussed a couple weeks ago, Yetzirah says, okay, so I'll be fine. Look what we just heard tonight. No, that's only after the tshuva. Person, the Yetzirah wants to tell the person, Elul is a time of introspection, delve into everybody else's problems but your own. And look at all their mistakes, but you yourself, you're a tzaddik. So this way, what happens? The Yetzirah gets the better of the person. The person doesn't do tshuva. This belief, this emun, is only after the person does the proper tshuva. Dibarnu daifi, we have spoken slander. Dalit, once again, it's an Aleph Bey's order. We discussed a few weeks ago, last week, I think, the reasons for this. We have carried tails and been hypocritical. Doifi. We have slandered Hashem by questioning His justice and kindness. We look at the world sometimes, we say, how could this be? How could this person have this problem? It's not fair. I don't understand it. That's Dibarnu Doifi. We have discredited our fellow human beings both for speaking falsehood and through publicizing their mistakes. What's that? What does that mean? It's like Lashon Hara. Basically, what a person is doing, as expressed over here, is he's saying, I don't see God. If I would see God, I would not have to take the decision of the matter into my own hands. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "B'makom she'ein ish, hishtatlu yos ish." In a place where there is no man, you yourself, each individual, should make himself that man and do the job. So a person says, "Oh, look at this! The Mefurish Mishnah. I'm fulfilling this. My Mishnah is a halacha. Halacha is a law. So I don't see God around. He's busy. He's got a whole world to take care of. So I have to tell everybody what's going on over here with this person. He's not an honest person. That's lashon hara. Dibarnu doifi." Doifi is du pi, two. Du means in Aramaic two. Pi is peh, now two mouths. You say one thing over here, person leaves, that person, you know what he did. And we live once again in a world where the American society, with the televisions and the radios and the shows, whether it's the sports broadcasters, they only make the money when there's the argument. If everybody's talking nicely and calmly, no one will listen to their station. It's only when you have the big news that makes the problems. So that's the world we're surrounded by. There's a story brought down in Sefer Chovos HaVavos. The person walking with Talmidim, and they passed over a carcass, a dead dog. The Talmidim responded, how disgusting, obviously a dead animal has this odor emanating from it, and the way it looked, and all the descriptions. The Rebbe responds, how white are its teeth. The Talmidim realize the response of the Rebbe, and they realize how far does it go that a person should not even speak slander, should not even speak incorrectly, improperly about a dead animal. And even to that, on their great level, one would have to do tshuva. How much more so for the human being, from man to man? How much more so from man to God? Where does this all begin? How does it come that a person speaks poorly about the next person? The pasuk says, "Vayar lakim ki toiv." Hashem saw ki toiv. It was good. Well, a few weeks, Mint Hashem, we'll start the Sefer Torah again from Bereishis, and we'll discuss the Sheishis Mei Bereishis. And it says that God saw ki toiv, and it was good. Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal, he says we have to put on the same pair of glasses, kiviyachol, if you will, we have to look at the world the same way Hashem, with His eyes, obviously God doesn't have eyes, looks at the world. How does Hashem look at the world? Ki toiv, because it's good. Yes, we have a lot of problems out there, but the world is a good place. God gave us a good place. This is God's world. We have to be positive. Realize everything is from Hashem. We have to judge our friends favorably. We have to think of them positively. And when all of these things happen, when we incorporate this into our everyday life, it'll hold us back from the Dibarnu Doifi, from speaking Lashon Hara, speaking improperly against our friends. Hevinu. We have caused perversion. We have corrupted good people and good people and good value systems. By our words or deeds, we have influenced people to lower their standards of conduct, to change from idealists to cynics, from generous people to selfish people. And by sinning on a continuous level, we have transformed the Derech Yeshar, the straight path, straight way of life, into something crooked and perverse. Ha'avinu. We have caused perversion. The Rambam enumerates one of the 24 things which hold back tshuva, which prevent a person's tshuva from going through, is not only sinning, but causing others to sin. Hamachti yisarabim, causing a multitude, causing others to sin. The Gemara in Brachos tells us like this. Whoever gets enjoyment out of this world without making a bracha, he's a gazel. Gazel. He's stealing. He's stealing from who? From God. This world is God. God's world. Yes.
On that very last point
yes.
you made, what if that person is not aware that they need to make a bracha in order to enjoy? In other words, you know, someone like myself, 5 years ago, I was Baal Tshuva, so I didn't know that I need to make a bracha on an apple, for example, before eating it. The statement that you made, is that also applicable to those that are not knowledgeable?
People in shoes like yours have a very close position in God's eyes. That they lived a life that they didn't know, but yet they turned themselves around and said, you know what? I'm going to live a proper life. Even though I wasn't raised in such a fashion.
I ask because, you know,
it's always...
We all have family members, many of us have, not all, many of us have family members who are...
Not familiar with this.
Not knowledgeable.
That's right.
So that's the best way I know how to say it.
The best way to deal with them is what Avraham Avinu did, in my opinion, my humble opinion. There are greater experts out there in the world. What is the character trait of Avraham Avinu?
Chesed,
kindness. It all starts with Chesed. Avraham Avinu is the one who started the whole Kira process. Okay.
That
is where Hashem, God knows how to judge people. We are not here. It is our job to try to be friendly with them and slowly but surely try to influence them properly. What happens to them, each person, even though we'll say, well, you know, I grew up in a similar situation as he did, and look, I saw the light. We don't know his makeup. The Mishnah says, just trying to get the exact words. Have you done this kol ha'adam l'kaschus? Have you done, judge kol ha'adam, the whole entire ha'adam, favorably? I believe this is Sfas Emes, I heard this years ago. Why did the Mishnah say ha'adam, the man? Just say, judge man, favorably. What's the prefix, the letter hey in the beginning? So the Sfas Emes says, ha'adam means the man in his whole entire life situation. Not just this situation over here, but from beginning to end. Have you done this? Kol ha'adam. Judge the whole entire situation. We cannot do that. Only Hashem could do that. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to say, Reuven, how are you? How about coming to learn something? Let's learn something. What do you have to lose? 10 minutes? One night? Obviously, I'm just giving an example. We have to know where people are holding chesed. It begins with the good morning, the hello, the how are you, how is your day. This is my opinion. Goes to what's next? Yitzchak. What's Yitzchak? Yira, fear of God. Explain to the person, especially the concept, there's a God out there. There's the obligation to listen to what he says. There's tefillah, there's tefillah, I'm sorry, there's tefillah. That was Yitzchak. Then we get to what? What's next? Yaakov. What was his midah? Emes. What is Emes? Torah is Emes. Torah is Emes. So, I'm not saying that a person cannot sit down and learn with somebody right away. But it's not going to happen. You're not going to get that person inside if one starts screaming at him. It has to start with a warm hand. A nice smile. So just very quickly to continue with this this idea on brachos over here. When the Rashi discusses that a person who doesn't make a bracha, he steals from Hashem and he steals from Klal Yisrael, from Bnei Yisrael. How so? He steals from Hashem because it's God's world. He steals from his fellow Jews because each and every bracha that a person makes, he adds positive influence into the world. So if Reuben doesn't make a bracha, so I don't get that paycheck. Or I get that paycheck very late. Or the transmission breaks. Or who knows what could happen. All these little things in life which we think, well, it's part of life. Because Reuben didn't make that bracha. We're all one neshama. Continues the Gemara over there and explains like this. This person who doesn't make a bracha, who is he a friend of? He is a friend of Yeravam ben Avot. Yeravam ben Avot is listed in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, in the Mishnah, as one of the people who do not have a share in the world to come. This person who does not make the brachas is listed next to somebody who does not have a share in the world to come. Now, we're not talking about your case, Simcha. When the person is not knowledgeable because of his background or whatever the situation might be, the person doesn't know. We're not talking about such a person. He should maybe realize, slowly but surely, but that's a different time. A person who doesn't make a bracha properly, and other people learn from him, it's a similar situation over here. We have to realize that we're always being watched. Just a few days ago, I was going down the steps by my house, and my Yosef was sitting on the couch, and he says, but you missed a step. You skipped a step. So, I didn't know he was watching me. I said, I was going down quickly, We're always being watched, especially by the little kids. They watch everything that we do, and they imitate it, especially with brachas. It's a bracha. We have the opportunity to make brachas all the time. We have the obligation to make 100 brachas a day. I was just thinking before when I said over the Mishnah, have you done this? Kol ha-adam. The hay, as we know, we might have heard in the past, is open from the bottom. The hay is open from the bottom because it's Hashem has opened a place for repentance, for people to do tshuva, to come underneath His throne. Sometimes a person has to do tshuva and has to go to the regular doorway. The malachim won't allow him. Hashem says, come underneath. Dig a hole underneath and I'll let you in. Ha'adam. Have you done this? Call ha'adam. The hay has that little line and has that hole on the side there and the side on top. Person, when he makes a bracha, he has to realize, first of all, the positive influence that he can give, not only to himself, but to others as well. We mentioned a while ago that we make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Ha'olam, we mentioned by Dibano Daifi, we look at the world, we don't understand Hashem's actions. Ha'olam is a lashon helam. Hidden, nister. We don't understand. We can't. It's hidden from our eyes. The way of God is hidden from our understanding. It's not possible for us with our human minds to understand why things happen. And one of the reasons why we start to discuss things about God and the way things are run is because we say we should understand. We expect to understand. We feel we're on the same level. Melech Ha'olam, he's the king of Ha'olam. God is the king, the Melech of Ha'olam, of the Nister, not us. With implementing all these different concepts, it should hopefully help us that we won't have to come back to this next year. Let's continue next week.